And welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh, and welcome to the first day of spring. We're going to spend some time this hour talking about the dance of the solar system and what it means for science and for humankind. First, we're joined by NASA scientist Yari Colada-Vega. We're reaching her in Maryland. Welcome, Yari.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So let's start with the basics of what exactly is an equinox.
The equinox has to do with the Earth axis a little tilted, and when it orbits the sun, there's 2 points twice in a year that actually the northern and southern hemisphere get the equal amount of light. They're equally illuminated by the sun. That means that the day and night have almost approximately the same time, the same length. And this happens twice a year. It happens today, the first day of spring, like you said, and it will happen again in September for the fall. Usually the northern and southern hemisphere are not equally illuminated, and that's how pretty much we have the seasons around the year.
All right, so what's the difference between that and a solstice?
The solstice is pretty much the what happens when you get the summer and the winter. That means that you're not getting enough daylight. So it's the opposite direction. So that's pretty much what it is. It's the other two ends of that orbit around the sun, and that's pretty much how you get the winter solstice and the summer one.
Okay.
So that means that the northern hemisphere, for example, for the summer one, is pointing towards the sun.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we get the summer here.
So for us, this kicks off spring. Does it kick off an astronomical year at some point, or is it significant to you?
It is as a celestial, you know, event that happens. There's another equinox that is known as the meteorological one. But this one, the meteorological one, separates the month in groups of three. And this one has to do with the axis and the rotation of the Earth around the sun.
Okay. So how does leap year play into this conversation about an equinox and how it changes?
Well, the tilt of the year has also have to do with that, right? The whole mm-hmm. year has more than 365 days, right?
There's right, yeah.
Approximately 365 days and a quarter, and that's how leap year happens. And it all has to do with the orbit around the sun of the Earth and how the Earth is tilted.
That's fascinating. So let's look ahead to August, because there's a pretty big event coming up in August 21st. Tell me about it.
On August 21st, we're going to have an amazing event. We're going to have a total solar eclipse, and it's going to cross the whole United States. It's going to go from Oregon all the way through and coming out in South Carolina. Pretty much the whole United States is going to be able to see it. And what happens in a total solar eclipse is like the moon is between the Earth and the sun. And that actually what happens is the moon, you see the shadow of the moon on the Earth. And this time the shadow is going to be cast along the whole continent of the United States. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be an amazing event. And it doesn't happen too often. I mean, eclipses do happen often. But one that crosses the whole continent, the last one we had was in 1918. And the next one, I believe it's going to be in 2045. So this is something that people need to take advantage of and go see it.
All right. So how is NASA prepared to take advantage of it as well?
As a scientist, we have many collections of data that happen during a solar eclipse. But as a space scientist myself, we look mostly at how the moon covers the solar disk. And what happens is when that happens, you can actually see better the solar atmosphere, what we call the solar corona. We do have missions out there in space that do make artificial eclipses, but because of the distance that they are from the sun, they don't go too inside of that solar atmosphere. But the moon does it almost perfectly, and you get to see parts of that atmosphere that you don't usually see. So we as a scientist, I want to look at that solar atmosphere, that solar corona, because that's where most of the solar storms originate from. And those solar storms are the ones that cause what we call space weather. So that's why it's so important for us to understand the processes that go around on the solar corona.
So how long do you get that improved view? What's the window on that opportunity to create science or to learn from that?
On a special, like in a specific location, the total solar eclipse will last minutes. But mm-hmm. if you take the whole path from west to east, it actually takes 1.5 hours. So that's pretty good data to collect and actually have some, you know, some kind of incentive to do it. It's going to be a pretty exciting event, and people are looking forward to it. Not only scientists, but, you know, the general public are also looking forward to this event because it's something amazing. This is going to be my first time, and I heard stories, you know, of people saying that it's one of the most amazing things that they have ever experienced because temperatures drop, and animals believe it's night. So it's something super, super nice to see. So people shouldn't miss it.
So are there records from 1918? Were there scientists who were looking at it then? Did they know it was coming? And do you have any data to look back on and help you in this work?
Yeah, this is a celestial event that, you know, has been known for many, many years. And, you know, the sun has been studied for many, many years. So we do have some data from the past, and like I said, it's just the whole continent is something very singular, but we have other solar eclipses. I think the last one that we have here in the United States, it was in 1970-something. So we do have data from other solar eclipses. It's just this one is very special because of the length that it crosses the whole continent. Pretty much everybody in the United States can see a partial eclipse. So it doesn't matter where you are, you're going to see a part of it. So that's amazing.
How do you get ready as a scientist? Like what kind of work needs to be done between now and August so that you're prepared for that day?
There's a lot of work that goes into preparation for an event like this. There's a lot of things involved. You got to get the missions ready to actually look at the event. You have to get ready for communications, you know, media events, outreach, education, citizen science applications that are going to be used. We have to get ready for the safety guidelines. We're working on the website also for the information. So there's a lot going on right now.
How do citizens going to be able to participate in that? Citizen scientists, you said.
Oh, there's a lot of applications that are going to be developed to, you know, do citizen science that day. Citizen science just is pretty much having the public contribute to a science data. And we have many things that we use for that. And in that day, we're creating applications that are going to be able, so people in the public can actually, you know, for example, have a picture of the solar eclipse and send it from different areas of the United States, things like that. And we collect them and actually make data out of it. Analyzing data out of it.
Safety guidelines for that, I'm sure will be rolling out, but that's something you have to think about right away, right? You don't look right at it.
No, don't look. Don't ever look right at the sun. It's very, very dangerous. You always look with safety glasses, for example, the safety glasses to look to the sun. There's also a pinhole projection that you can do. And there's a lot of safety guidelines, and you can find all that on the website, which is eclipse2017.nasa.gov.
Eclipse2017.nasa.gov. Tell me something, Yari, about space weather. Very quick. We just have a minute or so left, but space weather sounds pretty cool. Tell me something I don't know.
So the good thing about the eclipse is, like, you know, like I said, it covers the solar disk, so you can see the solar corona. So when you have a coronal mass ejection, for example, which are millions of particles expulsed from the solar atmosphere that are ejected, you have to see how it travels and when and where it's going to impact. And to be able to do that, you need to occult or, you know, block the disk of the sun because it's too bright. It's not going to let you see that. Mm-hmm. So when you have those coronal mass ejections, which are, you know, magnetic storms that get to Earth, they can cause damages to satellites, instrumentation, can cause damage to communications, signal loss for GPS. They can cause power grid disruptions. So there's a lot going on in the space weather field, and it's a very important field right now because we do rely a lot on technology.
Right.
The whole society pretty much uses technology every day, so we want to protect what we have out there.
August 21st, when the event is over, how long will you be processing the data that was gathered and trying to extrapolate from it?
That's a very good question. I'm not sure how long we're going to be gathering the data. I know it's going to take a while in the sense that I'm pretty sure we're going to gather a lot of data. This is an event that we're trying to advertise a lot so people don't miss it. We don't want anybody to miss it, and we want to have as much data as possible so we don't miss anything from this event. So I'm not sure how much it's going to take, but we're going to have a lot to work on even before and even after the event.
All right. Website one more time, please.
Excuse me?
Give me the website one more time for our listeners so they can find out more.
It's eclipse2017.nasa.gov.
All right. Yari Colada Vega is a scientist with NASA. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.